good thing you have in store for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dean. So John says, I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me. John is clearly surprised at the turn of events that we've just heard. Jesus comes from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. It's a turn of events that perhaps we wouldn't have expected. However, perhaps for those of us sat here today, we're no longer surprised by that reading because we know it so well. Perhaps it's one of those that you could recite without really looking at it in Scripture because we know Jesus goes to John, John baptizes, Jesus comes out, the dove descends, the voice from heaven says, etc. Perhaps we're no longer surprised by this story. After all, we hear it every second Sunday in January. No matter which year we're in the lectionary, we always have the baptism of Jesus. So perhaps the baptism of Jesus has become a bit like our preparations for Christmas. The sort of, here we go again. It's this story again. What are we going to learn new this year? We've heard it so many times before. However, if we were to read this passage without knowing what's coming ahead of it, perhaps we will rediscover that surprise that John shows. So I want you to do something for me this morning. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to talk to the person next to you. Imagine, though, friends, that you are in a concert hall, a huge concert hall, with thousands of other people. Choose the music you want to make this work. I'm not going to say you have to think it's classical, you have to think it's rock, whatever music you want. But imagine, in that concert hall, and the hall is packed with excitement. There's people who are eerily eager to hear this music playing. We've all got our programs in hand, and we're waiting for that thunderous music to begin, that first note when we go, yes, it's finally here. We know what it should sound like. We're expectant for what it's going to be. The host comes on stage and says, now is the time. Insert whoever musician you want to choose. They've arrived. We all get to our feet. There's a standing ovation, and we watch the musicians come on stage. It's about time to fulfill that expectancy that we've been waiting for. As we're standing eagerly, awaiting that first note, somebody else actually walks on stage. It's not what we expected. It's someone carrying a flute. And as we stand there, shocked into silence, the flute begins to play, softly and gently. It plays a tune that was different to what we'd imagined or anticipated. As we listen, though, we start to hear familiar themes coming through in a new way. The music is haunting and fragile, rather than loud and explosive. It finds the way into our imagination and it hopes and begins to transform them. Then, and only then, the musicians we were expecting to hear burst into life. Now, I can't take credit for that. It is Tom Wright. But I just thought that was so good at making us think about this expectancy that we know what we're expecting. But if we think of it in a different way, we can often get caught out. So imagine then, John as the host in our story today. He sees Jesus come in. He's come in. He's more powerful than me. He will give you God's wind and fire, not just water. He's going to clear up all of the mess. It's all going to happen now. You can just imagine that excitement of John and his followers as they see Jesus approaching the River Jordan. Jesus approaches. And so far, in Matthew's gospel, the Jesus that we have met is a baby with a price on his head. So strip away what all the other gospels say. All we know at this point is that Jesus was a baby with a price on his head, which we heard about last week. Jesus comes to John, stands humbly before him, says, I need to be baptized by you. In that moment, Jesus is sharing the penitential mood of Judea, Jerusalem, and Galilee. Suddenly, John's expectations are changed. Jesus is not going to identify himself with God, who will sweep all before him in judgment. Jesus is going to be the sort of person who is going to identify with people who they themselves are facing judgment and needing to repent. Jesus is going to be identifying with me and with you. Our expectations are completely changed. The baby who was born, the child who was visited by the Magi, the child who had to flee from Herod to become a refugee, the Messiah who had been promised throughout the Old Testament, which we heard all about in Advent, comes, stands before John, and asks to be baptized. Wow. Our expectations are completely shattered. This is another indication that the Messiah who was born in Bethlehem is going to be doing things very differently to what we expected. The Messiah who was born in Bethlehem wasn't born in a palace. He had to flee his country. And now he is coming next to John and standing alongside humanity, saying, I identify with you. I don't need to be baptized, but I am going to be baptized to identify with you and all those who come after you. Can you imagine how John must have felt at this point when he sees Jesus and Jesus says, I need to be baptized by you? In that moment, it's two short verses in the gospel, but in that moment, everything John thought about was turned on its head. John knew that Jesus was the one Israel was waiting for, but why would he come for baptism? What about the agenda to free Israel from Roman occupation? What about the wind and fire that's been promised? Jesus' reply, though, tells us something vital about the whole gospel story that is going to unfold over the course of his earthly ministry. Jesus has come to fulfill God's plan and the promises God made long ago. But for Jesus to do this, he's going to have to do it in a different way to what everybody expected. He humbly identifies himself with God's people. He takes their place. He shares their penitence. He lives their life and ultimately dies their death. And if we change there to me, he takes my place. He shares my penitence. He lives my life and he dies my death. It really turns things on its head. How would John and his people see this, though? Was this really what they had waited for? Well, Matthew's answer is essentially, read the rest of the story. I've written a whole gospel about this. Read the rest of it and you'll find out. But spoiler alert, when Jesus comes out of the water, it's symbolic of Israel coming through the water of the Red Sea when they were given the law. It confirmed their status as God's son, as God's firstborn. When Jesus comes up from the water of baptism, he receives God's spirit, God's wind, and God's breath in a new way. And God himself, the Father, declares that Jesus Christ is his son, in whom he is well pleased, Israel in person. The dove which descends for a moment embodies and symbolizes the spirit. It indicates that the coming judgment will not be achieved through a warlike or vindictive spirit, but the goals will be achieved by the making of peace. Judgment itself will be judged by the Spirit, just as Jesus will at last take the judgment upon himself and bring it to an end. Part of the challenge of this passage and this account of Jesus' baptism, which we know so well, is that we, friends, need to learn afresh to be surprised by Jesus. We need to learn to be surprised by what he is going to do and what he has done. Because after all, he's not coming to fulfill our plan. He's coming to fulfill his plan, to fulfill God's plan. Even at times, the prophets misunderstand what he is up to. Even now, we in the 21st century misunderstand what Jesus is up to. Shock, horror. Jesus doesn't always play the music we expect to hear. But if we learn to listen carefully to what he says, If we learn to watch carefully what he does, we find our real longings, that hunger beneath the surface excitement will be richly met. At the same time, those of us who in repentance and faith follow Jesus through baptism and along the road, he will find us. If we listen actively, not just listening occasionally, but actively listen, we will hear that same voice from heaven that said, "This is my son whom I love and in whom I am well pleased." We will hear that same voice speaking to us. Perhaps that's what you need to hear as we start 2023. Well, I know we're a week in, but for the rest of the 51 weeks of 2023, perhaps that's what you need to hear this morning. The voice of God saying into your heart, "You are my son, you are my daughter whom I love. In you I am well pleased." Take a moment to hear God say that to you this morning, if that's what you need. As we do that, as we actively hear that voice of God, we learn to set aside our own plans and submit to his. You know the story of Amanda and I coming to Luton. We said no further south than Sheffield. And yet God had other plans. When we surrendered our plans, we came here. And I'm glad we're with you, even if it was nice to be back in Yorkshire last week. But we submit our plan. We submit our own plans. And we set aside our plans and we submit to his. And in those moments, we may be granted moments of vision, glimpses of that greater reality that is all around us. And in the center of that glimpse of the greater reality, we see our loving Father. We see him affirming us as his children, equipping us with his Spirit so that our lives are swept clean from all the rubbish that we have. And he makes us ready to use us for his glory. I believe that there is a lesson in that for us here at Christ Church. And the turn of this new year, I think it's time for us to step back from our own ambitions. And it's time for us to surrender our plans so that we can see the real longings of our hearts being met. I'm just as guilty of it as the next person. I know I want to see the church go this way, but it might not be where God wants us to go. Last September, we launched our vision. Things got a bit complicated. The Queen died. Everything else happened. Cost of living. We've not really had a chance to pursue if that's right. But let's make that our focus this year. As long as we don't get too stuck to that document going, "This is what we want to do," because God might have other plans. Yes, he was involved in that. Yes, he told us that. But it may be now he says, "I want to change the course of the direction. I'm going to surprise you. Because guess what, guys? In 2023, you're not going that way. You're going that way." Let's surrender our own ambitions in church. Let's surrender to him. Because if we continue to follow our own ways, we are going to continue to run into difficulties in the church. Egos get in the way. People get hurt. We misunderstand things. We try and make a name for ourselves. We are a church that longs to become somewhere that is dependent on the Holy Spirit. We long to be dependent on Jesus. And that's not just for this hour, hour and a half on a Sunday morning, friends, when we come together and worship together. That is our whole lives. That is 24/7, 365 or 366 in a leap year. It will take all of us to learn to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, to be dependent on Jesus, to surrender our plans and submit to his. Because when we do that, when we become a church that is actively listening, that is actively seeking God, that is actively watching what Jesus is doing, we'll be completely different. We'll be transformed. It's not for us to set the agenda of mission. It's not for us to set the goals of where we're reaching out. It's for us to fall in line with what God is doing and to follow his lead. If you'll forgive it, it's the Missio Dei, the Greek. It's the mission of God. It's God's mission that we partake in. It's not our mission. If it's our mission and we're just asking God to bless it, we're doing things completely the wrong way around. We need to get in line with what God is doing in the here and the now. So three things to pull out from this morning. And these three things will become the three things we look at over our prayer evenings next week. Firstly, we need to not become too expectant on things working out in a certain way, because they're not necessarily going to follow the path that we are used to. We know the structure of a church year, that it goes through its cycles, but things might not go that way. We see John's surprise at Jesus asking him to be baptized. So let's not get caught up in all of the legalities and the processes that we have, some of the things we have to do, but let's not get too caught up with that. Let's be open to the Spirit and see what the Spirit wants to do. And let's start to think we might go in a different direction, and that's okay. Secondly, we need to learn to listen carefully and watch carefully. And then, it doesn't stop there though, that's where often we stop. We then need to follow the lead of Jesus. We have to watch, we have to listen, and then follow. Because that's when the real longings of our hearts will be met. Perhaps we don't know what the real longings are. Because we might be shying away from something that's too painful to deal with, because it causes us too much distress to go to. Yet the Lord Jesus wants us to go there. He wants us to go to that deep, dark place, because he wants to minister to us, because he wants to wipe that clean so that we can then be effective for his use. He wants us to be ministered to so that we can become greater missionaries for the kingdom of God. If that's you, I encourage you, go to that place when you feel able. I'm happy to talk through anything with you. You know that. I'm happy to do some ministry with you. If that's what it needs, if you'd rather go to a friend, absolutely fine. It doesn't have to be me. But I encourage you this year, go through that if that's what you need to do. And thirdly, as we walk the road of baptism through repentance and faith, we will find that we hear that same voice that declares, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." As we submit to his ways, as we move away from our own plans, we will see more of the Father. That's what we want, friends. We want to see the Father. Now, I know some of us, me included, may have had bad experiences of fathers, but remember that God is not the same as an earthly father. Our earthly fathers may have failed. I continually fail with Hannah and Joseph. But God will never fail. God the Father will never fail. Those are the three things that I think we need to pull out from that reading today. Now, I don't do New Year, I don't do resolutions, I don't do dry January, partly because I can't say it. But what I want to come from 2023 is to continue on the road of discipleship with each of you, friends who are here, friends who are not here. I want to continue on that road of discipleship together, and I want us all to learn to be more like Jesus. I need to be reminded daily to submit to his plans and not my own. I need to be reminded to listen to God actively and to seek out what he is saying rather than pursuing what I think he is saying. And yes, there is a difference. I need to listen to what he is actually saying rather than what I think he is saying. We need to learn to discern the true voice of God in amongst the noise of this world. We must learn to hear no. And then we must learn to not push forward our own agendas if God says no. It's all too easy to go, "Well, he says no, but I want to try this anyway." If God says no, the answer is no. At the end of 2023, I want to be able to stand here and say to you all that things did not work out the way I expected. Yes, I haven't made a mistake. They did not work out the way I expected, because I believe they will work out far better than what I can expect. Why? Because we're going to follow what God is asking of us. We're going to seek his voice. We're going to see what he is doing. And we are going to come alongside the mission of God. I want to be able to stand here at the end of this year and say, "I followed the Spirit. I followed the Spirit into very uncomfortable places. It's led to things that I couldn't have expected. But I know that where it's led me, it has been for the glory of God." And I want you, friends, to be able to stand here and say that too. I want all of us to say 2023 worked out differently because we actively listened, we actively watched, and we followed God. what Jesus wanted us to do. So friends, as we begin this new year together, let's make that commitment together to listen and to watch what God is doing. Not merely a glimpse or a listen when we feel like it, but to actively listen and to actively watch at all times. Because I know that we will be surprised, because God is up to far more than we can begin to imagine. But as we seek him, let's learn to be surprised once again by Jesus this year. Let's leave behind our old ways of personal gratification objectives in the church. Let's make sure that as we journey through this year, this church stands for the person of Jesus Christ. I know there are going to be difficult things coming this year. General Synod in February is one of them. But let's be able to stand here and say at the end of this year that we have stuck true to the person of Jesus Christ. We have stuck true to the word of God because we have followed what he has asked of us. As we do that corporately, together with each other, let's learn to hear the Father speaking to each of us tenderly. Let's learn to look for those moments where we glimpse that greater reality. Let's not just do that on a Sunday, but let's do that in our own lives each and every day. Let's listen and watch together and see that the Father is equipping us with the Spirit so that we can be made ready for his use wherever that takes us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Scripture. We thank you that we can hear you say to us, "You are my son, you are my daughter, in you I am well pleased." I pray that that would land for each of us this morning, however we're feeling, whatever we're going through, that we would hear you speak to us afresh this morning. As we journey through this year together, Lord, would we actively watch and actively listen to what you are up to? And would we move and work alongside you and not get in the way? Would we set aside our personal objectives and agendas and allow your Spirit to have his way? Would you grant us those glimpses of a greater reality? Would you grant us those glimpses of you affirming us as your children? Holy Spirit, would you come and fall on us now? Come, Holy Spirit, we pray.